It's 8 o'clock and you're listening to the regional newscast from KVNF in Paonia. I'm Patricia Naft. El Paso County Commissioners voted unanimously yesterday to ask for Sheriff Terry Makita's resignation after allegations of misconduct. KRCC's Andrea Chaplin reports.
Commissioners say the vote isn't about guilt or innocence and that investigations into employee complaints and allegations including sexual discrimination, budget mismanagement, and a hostile work environment are underway. Board members say the decision comes after what they see as compromised leadership and a failure to live up to high personnel standards of the department. Commissioner Peggy Littleton.
I'm asking the sheriff, along with my colleagues, put others before yourself. In great humility, gain back the respect of the citizens that you once had, and do the right thing and resign.
Earlier this week, Littleton expressed her desire for Makita to resign. The sheriff issued a statement Tuesday saying he plans to complete his term, which ends in 7 months. That statement also said he will not be commenting on the allegations or investigations. For KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
A lockdown at a mental health clinic in Montrose ended peacefully after a felony menacing suspect was disarmed and taken into custody by police. The Montrose Daily Press reports 44-year-old Joseph O'Brien was allegedly on his way to the Center for Mental Health, an outpatient facility for counseling. O'Brien was reportedly traveling with people in his vehicle that didn't know he was carrying a firearm. Police officers were called to the scene when O'Brien allegedly said he was going to use the weapon to protect himself from the officers. The center, which the suspect reportedly didn't enter, was put on lockdown. Police say the suspect was allegedly irate and waving around a pistol, but officers were able to get a hold of the weapon and take him into custody. Former State Senator Mike Kopp, who's running for the Republican nomination for this year's governor's race, is planning a 6-day, 10-town, 436-mile bike ride across Colorado. Kopp's trip is scheduled to start in Grand Junction today and end in the town of Holly on the Kansas border. Kopp is planning to stops in Delta and Montrose. Secretary of State Scott Gessler and former Congressman Tom Tancredo and Bob Beaupre are also vying for this year's GOP nomination. The winner of the June 24th primary will contest Democrat John Hickenlooper, who's seeking a second term in office. The National Park Service will not offer Morrow Point boat tours in June this year. KVNF's Laura Palmisano explains why.
The National Park Service will not offer Morrow Point boat tours in June this year. The Park Service says this winter's generous snowpack in the upper Gunnison Basin means the Bureau of Reclamation will have to send a lot of water downstream this summer. Caraconte Park Ranger Brant Porter says the water management scenario for the Gunnison River from Blue Mesa to Black Canyon is not compatible for boat tours at Morrow Point.
Morrow Point Reservoir, which is the middle reservoir in the set of three within the recreation area, that reservoir level could drop as much as 30 feet during the month of June as they're moving water through the system. With a water level at 30 feet below full, we can't get our tour boat anywhere close to the boat dock.
Porter says the Park Service will offer a new boat tour at another location.
For the month of June, what we're going to be doing is offering tours on that same 40-foot, 42-passenger pontoon boat on Blue Mesa Reservoir, leaving from the Elk Creek Marina.
Porter says this is the first time the National Park Service has offered tours in the Blue Mesa Reservoir. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
For proponents of hemp, this is a historic planting season. A handful of farmers across the country are putting hemp, the non-psychoactive cousin of marijuana, in the ground. That's possible because the most recent farm bill gave the go-ahead for small-scale experimentation. But farmers are getting mixed messages from the federal government. KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports.
On a windy morning at his home in Brighton, Colorado, a small town just outside Denver, Jim Denny is prepping for planting season.
We got two areas that we're planning to grow.
Okay.
And one is out here in this, used to be a vegetable garden.
He's okay. One of more than four dozen growers given the nod by the state's Department of Agriculture to start cultivation of industrial hemp. The plant is the same species as marijuana, but a different variety, one that lacks THC, the compound that gives users a high when smoked or ingested. It's been hailed as a super crop, one that can make U.S. farmers lots of money. Hemp seeds are increasingly showing up in foods. They're packed with protein, and the plant's fibers can be turned into everything from clothing to rope to car interiors.
The crop right now is sellable. I've already had people contact me on my website saying that we know you're growing stuff and we want to buy it from you already, and we haven't even put it in the ground.
The recent farm bill allows farmers to start cultivating hemp where state laws have legalized the crop. It was outlawed in the 1930s. Kentucky, California, and Colorado are among states that have welcomed its return. Despite its growing popularity, hemp seed is scarce. Denny's growing some hemp for a local business owner who makes a hemp-infused coffee. She has some seed on hand, but
she's selling it at like $5 a seed, so it can get pretty expensive if you buy a lot.
Wait, one seed is $5?
Yes.
For all the potential, a few bottlenecks are keeping hemp from totally taking off. It's still illegal to import viable seed. It has to be sterile. So anyone with usable seed is suddenly very, very popular.
This is a small flowering room in here, these two.
Ben Holmes is one of those people. He's owner of Centennial Seeds, about a 20-minute drive from Denny's small grow operation. In his warehouse, emerald-colored hemp plants tower at 10 feet tall.
Indoors, these would be 20 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, completely unmanageable.
I mean, this is taller than a corn stalk right now.
Oh, as it stands, yeah.
Now that Colorado's industrial hemp growers have a statewide legal framework to operate under, Holmes says he's been inundated.
I get calls every day of every week of people who want to go into the hemp business. And when I let them know that their seed isn't available, that they really are sort of lost.
Even though Holmes is probably in the best situation in Colorado to sell seed, he doesn't have enough to go around. And he admits because hemp isn't quite legal nationwide, he had to acquire some of his seed through nefarious means.
It would just show up in the mail or by FedEx, or someone would come to my office and say, I'm a friend of so-and-so from Czech Republic, and he asked me to give you this, and little bits of seed would come my way.
That's probably enough to scare off most large-scale crop farmers from hemp, at least initially. And that's why this year's hemp planting, not just in Colorado, but Kentucky too, will likely be modestly sized. There's not a lot known about how the plant will perform in different climates and which varieties yield best for seed and which for fiber. Plus, current state rules forbid growers from exporting any part that could be used to grow a new plant, so it has to be processed within Colorado.
The infrastructure in Colorado is still pretty limited, and we're not quite sure how that's going to develop over the next few months.
That's Ron Carlton, Deputy Commissioner for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. Without a ton of businesses in the state processing hemp into food or fiber, hemp farmers could be left with a harvest they can't move over Colorado's borders.
So if you do cultivate hemp in any significant way, will there be a market? Will you be able to sell it? If not, then what?
There's a second room.
All those unanswered questions haven't deterred growers like Jim Denny. Yes, his crop is going into the ground with plenty of uncertainty, but he's confident that in 5 or 10 years, he'll be part of a thriving class of hemp growers.
But the one thing that legitimized this right here, and the reason why I'm even growing this here, is the fact that they recognized what hemp was and they defined it because they put it in the Farm Bill.
And with signals like that from Congress and the federal government, it may not be long before some of America's amber waves of grain get a little greener. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. Visit our website at kvnf.org to find reports from the KVNF news team. You've been listening to the regional newscast from KVNF. I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Alan and the Friday Morning Music Mix.